I wouldn't be honest. I wouldn't be real if I picked against them. Now, I'm not picking them because I'm a homer. But if I had nothing else to go off of, they showed me the work. What I mean by that is, they've proven to me that they can win games in all types of ways. Who am I to pick against them, honestly? I'm only fearful because it's the Buffalo Bills and because it has the quote-unquote makings of a letdown game and because I feel, quote-unquote, feel the pressure may get to them. One thing Sirianni has showed me all year, this team is going to be prepared. Even when they lost the Jets game, that wasn't a lack of preparation. That was just a lack of execution. I'm not picking against the Eagles, man. I'm sorry. I know it's like kind of tough. Like, yo, they got to lose a game somewhere, right? Yeah, they probably will. But you know what? It ain't going to be this week. Welcome into the 444 Podcast, Philly Sports 444 Podcast. I'm your host, Dom Lewis. And I was right. At least with my prediction, I was right. Because I went through it this game. I went through it. Now, full disclosure, I'm not home right now. Like I said on the last podcast, I am on vacation. So, I have not been home in since Thanksgiving Day. So I've been away, and we actually did get the game down here, the Bills and the Eagles, and I went through it. So Sunday was my son's birthday, and we spent the entire day out. We did so many things that day, a very exhausting day. And I feel like, full disclosure, this last few days have been like a whirlwind. I haven't been home. I've been traveling up, and I feel like I've just been driving or riding in a car, like, all the time. But it's been fun, a well-needed break. And Sunday was just a jam-packed day, I feel. And on top of that, we had the Eagles. And, you know, I was able to stream the game some points from my phone. I was able to look at it I was in an Applebee's watching part of the game. Then I was at another place at an amusement park or a little kind of carnival type deal. And I couldn't really stream it because my phone was dying, and my group chat was going crazy. Shout out to our group. I'm telling you, if you have an iPhone, you got to get in on this group chat. It gets so crazy during Eagles games. I went through all types of emotions with this game, with this day, with that day. And the Eagles, they did it again. Jalen did it again. And my title of the episode last week, great teams find ways to win games they're supposed to lose. And it was like part two on Sunday evening. I can't even put into words how I feel about the game, how I feel about Jalen Hurts, how I feel about this Eagles team, how I feel about the coaching staff, how I feel about the team's resiliency, how I feel about the organization as a whole, how I feel about us as fans. I am just, it's just a feeling that I can't describe right now. I'm so thankful to be a member of this, and that's, I guess it's fitting for, you know, Thanksgiving holiday just passed, but I'm so thankful to be a fan of this team. And I know they take us through it during game days, because I know our expectations are so high, and they have yet to let us down. I mean, this season has been nothing short of spectacular, and Sunday was just another reason to show us, like, we just got to trust this team, honestly. We got to trust this coaching staff. We got to trust this team. They know what they're doing. Not for nothing, Jalen Hurts is an absolute dog. That dude is some type of, like, I got text messages from fans of other fan bases and, you know, whatever. They're just like, yo, that dude is special. Seriously, man. Like, they had no business winning that game on Sunday, y'all. Absolutely no business winning that game. Josh Allen did what he wanted to do. And it's so crazy because I always say, so at the time, the Bills were 6-5. And I say, the Bills had 5 losses, and I can point to something Josh Allen did in every one of those games that they lost, that it was his fault that they lost the game. And honestly, with this game that they just played, I don't think there's anything he did wrong. He played really almost flawless game. And, I mean, he made a couple, like, stupid plays, like the intentional grounding and stuff like that. But, I mean, for the most part, Josh Allen played a really, really good game. And I can't point to anything he did in this game that made them lose. It's just that the Eagles won the game. I don't even think the Bills lost it. The Eagles just won. When you put up 34 points in the league, like, you should be able to win your game, honestly. If you put up 34, you should win the game. And they put up 34, and they scored first in overtime, technically. All they had to do was hold the Eagles. They just had to hold them. And honestly, the thought had crossed my mind in overtime that the Eagles are going to tie this game. And it's going to end up in a tie. Because it's just, I'm lost for words, honestly. I'm just recording this because I have to. But I'm at an absolute loss for words about this team. Because they just, I'm speechless at what they do every week. They really find ways to win football games. It's amazing to see. Like, this team is so resilient, spectacular. They're the willing. Like, they've done so much with so little, man, for so long. Like, it's crazy. I'm thankful to be a fan of this team, and I'm so happy, man. Like, Eagles are 10-1, and, you know, usually I get on here and I can just talk about, like, the analytics of the game, or I can talk about, not the analytics, but, like, you know, just kind of go through it, like, analyze the game, basically, and I can, you know, talk about what went wrong here, or what they did here, what they did there. Like, they ended the first half with 7 points. Jalen had, he turned the ball over twice. And, like I said, there's no business. They had no business even being in the game. Now, granted, they score. They come out of the second half. They go 3 and out. Again, it almost was reminiscent of last week's game against Kansas City. They go down in the half, 17-7. They get the ball back at the start of the second half. They go 3 and out. And I'm like, oh, this team is, what are they doing? And then they score, right? They go 17-14. And then Buffalo turns around and scores again. It's 24-14. I'm like, okay, Buffalo, this ain't going to be. And I was about to say in the group chat, like, this is not going to be like last week. Like, unfortunately, I can't see us coming back. And what did they do? They get a turnover. Josh Allen turnover. They score. Make it 24-21, right? Then, was that 24-21 at that time? I don't remember if that was 24-21 or they put on 20-24. No. It was 24-21. They get the interception, and then they score a goal at 28-24. Josh Allen drives the ball down the field. They go up 31-28. They have too much time on the clock, right? Jalen drives the ball down the field. They didn't score. They didn't get close to scoring. They did get in field goal range. 2 penalties by Jason Kelce, which is almost impossible. Like, he doesn't get called for penalties. He doesn't commit penalties. He just doesn't do that. Like, he's a... Next to Jalen Hurts, he's probably the smartest guy on the field, honestly. And his IQ with Jalen is probably equal. But he doesn't get called for penalties. What does he do? Commit 2 back-to-back penalties. Mind you, Lane's out. He's a last-minute scratch due to the groin injury. And they tie it up 31-31. Jake Elliott, like, he just doesn't miss field goals at this point. Like, honestly, it's Justin Tucker. And Jason Kelce, I mean, excuse me, it's Justin Tucker and it's what I just said his name. Oh my god, Jake Elliott, Justin Tucker, and it's Jake Elliott. Honestly, they just don't miss, and it's crazy because Tucker missed a field goal on Sunday, which is rare. He just doesn't miss, but they don't miss, right? Tied up, going overtime. Josh Allen misses, like, he didn't, and it wasn't even his fault. Honestly, his receiver's open. He breaks wrong on the route. Josh Allen throws it the opposite way. They don't score. They get a field goal out of it. They go up 34-31. I'm just like, man, I text in the group, Jalen, we need you. Jalen, we need you. And what does he do? He doesn't disappoint. He drives the ball down the field. Couple passes here and there. Good DeAndre Swift run. And then what do you know? He takes it in for the score, the game-winning score. Game-winning rushing touchdown. 5 total touchdowns. That dude is amazing, man. He never flinches at all. Like, everyone is not saying the same lie. Like, Colin Coward, Mike Messinelli, Seth Joyner, everybody on Good Morning Football, Ryan Clark, shout out to the new Ryan Clark. Everyone is not telling the same lie. Jalen Hurts does not flinch when it comes down to it. And honestly, like, the only other time I've seen quarterbacks not flinch, like, when the game is really, really, really on the line, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes. I've even seen the sheriff flinch a couple times. Peyton Manning. And I'm not saying Montana didn't flinch, because Montana, I don't, you know, in his glory, I was young. Either I was young or I wasn't born. So I can't speak on Montana. But I watched a lot of quarterbacks. I watched a lot of quarterback play in the league. Watched a lot of great quarterbacks, I would say. And Hurst, he just don't flinch. He just doesn't. And I think Colin Coward, he said his opening monologue on the Hurt was so on point. When he talked about Hurts, he was just like, he asked if we were even underrating him, but he was talking about how I need my quarterback to be this, this, and this. And then he's talking about, like, my quarterback to kind of be straightforward, unbuttoned, like, I mean, buttoned up, like, you know, poised and all this other stuff. But he talks about how, like, he's hyper, but he don't get hype. Like, he's, like, engaged. Like, he's really engaged in the game, but he's not hyper. He's calm enough, but he doesn't lack any energy. Like, he's just going to do what he got. He's so focused, hyper-focused. That's really what it is. It's just super hyper-focused to the point where I don't care what adversity is in the way. There's a goal that I need to achieve, and I ain't stopping until I achieve it. That's what I love about Jalen Hurts. That's what I love about him, man. That dude is, he's spectacular. And it's not just about Hurts. I know it's not. It's about the team. But he's the general. And he's leading us to victory every week. So I got to start with the guy. Listen, if you're going to criticize or you're going to, you know, reward, you got to start with the person who's at the head. And it's Jalen Hurts. You know, I mean, there's other players that played a great game. I know that. Josh Allen had a great game on his own. Like, for the opposing team, I know that. I get that. And I don't mean any disrespect toward him or anyone else. I don't mean disrespect toward DeAndre Swift and, you know, whoever. But I got to give Jalen his due. And his stats don't even look great. He's 18 for 31, 200 yards, three passing touchdowns, an interception. Quarterback overall rating, quarterback rating of 54.2. That's not even great. Right? But you look at, like, throw his stat sheet away. He had 5 total touchdowns. He had three passing touchdowns and 2 rushing touchdowns, right? Yeah, he had the pick. Yeah, the fumble happened. Still efficient, though, with the ball. 18 for 31 is not that bad, honestly. And then, you know, I know it says 200 yards passing, but the way he ended the first half, he was like 4 for 7 for like 33 yards. It was some obscene stat. Like, maybe he just don't got it today. But like I said last week, and I'm saying now, when are we going to stop doubting this guy? When am I going to stop doubting this guy? And I don't mean to doubt him. I just, it's been pain being a fan of Philadelphia for so long, and it's like, it almost feels like it's too good to be true, you know? And I know Eagles won a Super Bowl a couple years back, and, you know, Phillies are a good team right now, and I've seen a World Series in my lifetime, but it's just like, it's too good to be true that we got this guy. This guy wasn't even supposed to be the guy. Like, he was just supposed to be a backup to Wentz. And you know, I remember I got a text message from my cousin the night of that draft. And he said to me, and this is like, because I guess I was on a delay, but he's like, I get the pick, but why? And I'm like, what? And then I see it a few minutes later, not even a minute later, that they draft Jalen Hurts. And I'm like, okay. Like, and then I remember I was still focused on Wentz being the quarterback. I didn't not like Hurts pick, but I just was like, he's not the guy, the starting guy. He's just not the guy, you know? And I bucked against it for so long. And I don't know, Carson Wentz falling apart. I don't know how that happened there. And, you know, seeing Hurts, like, I'm just like, okay, like, he had a good first game, you know, they won the game, and then second game, he comes out, plays Arizona, he has a really good game, and they lose, right? I think the second game was Arizona, and then they play Dallas, and they get the doors blown off, but, you know, they win over Wentz, Hurts becomes a guy, and turning point for me is when I just heard all this stuff about him not being smart enough to play quarterback, and that to me was like, I gotta root for this guy. If it takes everything in me, because I felt like he was just being disrespected. Like, I had no issue with his intelligence and IQ as a player. I had no issue with that. But I felt like a lot of the stuff coming out about him was bucking, like, because he was just running quarterback and, you know, he ain't smart enough to play, can't read this and he can't do that. And I was like, no, I got to cheer for this guy. And then, you know, he had a good full first season as a starter. He had an okay season. Then he came out last year and just lit the world on fire. And it's crazy because he's having a better year this year. And his stats don't even say it, but he's having a better year this year. Like, I thought last year he was the undeniable MVP. And it's like, this year, I'm like, how can you even deny him at this point being the MVP? He came back and doubled up and did it again. This team is spectacular to see, man. I'm in awe. I'm in awe of this team. I really am. I'm in awe, man. I don't know what else to say, but I just go Birds, honestly. Fly Eagles, fly, all of that. The Eagles are 10-1. Like, put some respect on their name. And that's what I'm going to get into that, because I'm tired of the disrespect. I'm tired of the excuse making, and I'm tired of just the overlooking, honestly. I'm tired of it. Like, the Philadelphia Eagles are a good team. It's impossible. You can't make a mistake being 10-1. Like, there's no mistake here. You're 10-1 for a reason. And I'm tired of the excuse making. Like, someone losing a game as opposed to the Eagles winning a game. Oh, and about, you know, a quarterback playing good in the loss, but they still lost. Because I know Jalen wouldn't get that respect. And I know this Eagles team wouldn't get that respect. That's what annoys me. And, you know, I listened to some national stuff today. I couldn't listen to too much of it because I'm still on vacation, like I said. But, you know what, man? I feel like the Eagles are just never get a fair shake when it comes to the national media. They're not going to get a fair shake. Like, it's unfair. Team is so good. They continue to impress every week. And nonetheless, they still get doubted, overlooked. The focus goes somewhere else. And I'm tired of it. I've had enough of it. I really have. And I'm glad Seth Joyner called out the national media on his post-game show. Because it needs to be somebody with a big voice to pull these guys' cards. Because enough is enough. My guy is a winner. My guy is a playmaker. My guy is special. My team is special. My coaches are special. These fans are special. The city is special. And it continues to get overlooked. Continues to get overlooked, overshadowed. I've had enough of it. I've had enough. To my man Rodney, you were right. You listen, you stay calm, cool, and collected every week in the group chat. You never flinch. You never get bent out of shape. Eagles go down. They go down double digits. You never trip, man. You just like Jalen, honestly. And before you know it, Eagles are coming back. Eagles are winning the game. They put the game away. And then what do? You just like, I told y'all, man. I told y'all. So I got to give a shout out to you, man. You were right. We were wrong, you know. But we need your voice for the sanity in the group, man. So thanks. Fly, Eagles, fly. Jalen Hurts, I gave you his stats from yesterday. Also, he had 14 rushes for 65 yards. DeAndre Swift had 14 carries for 80 yards. Pretty impressive day. I like how, so it says Kenny Gainwell had two carries for 26 yards. He had the one fumble. I put the fumble actually on him and not on Jalen, but the credit went to Jalen for that fumble. So Boston Scott, two rushes for 14 yards. I think they should feature Boston Scott a little bit more. I kind of like, you know, Scott a little bit more over Gainwell. I haven't been shy saying that. It's true, I do. But I'm just saying. Devontae Smith had an amazing day. 7 catches, 106 yards, a tutty. AJ Brown was only 5 for 37, but still had a tutty. Zacchaeus had a tutty yesterday. He was 1 catch for 29 yards. His lone catch was a touchdown catch. Amazing, man. Amazing. Jack Stoll, I remember he had the catch. He had the 1 catch for 14 yards, and it was a big catch. Big catch. You got Kenny Gainwell involved in the passing game, 2 for 10. DeAndre Swift only had 1 catch yesterday for 4 yards, which is, I didn't know that. Let's see. Kevin Byard leading the team again in tackles, 13 tackles total. Morrow had 12 tackles. Reed Blankenship had 11 tackles yesterday. Zach Cunningham had 10 tackles. And it's crazy. They rack up all these tackles, but they're like, it's, I feel like they're just so out of position sometimes, man. Like, these defensive backs. And I just want them for one game. I want them to really crack down. And, like, you know, I mean, granted, Bradbury had a pick yesterday, which was timely, right? Brandon Graham had a sack yesterday. He's the man. What was that a second? Anyway, another second. No, we only had one sack. That's another thing. One, they're not getting enough pressure up front to get sacks. Two, the defensive backfield is not pressing or jamming enough where we can get sacks and we can throw off timing. They're just not doing it. And I'm just like, I'm annoyed with this defense. I'm annoyed with them. I said yesterday, they ain't good for nothing. Like, they give up too much. Now, granted, in the Kansas City game, they came up clutch. But yesterday, they didn't do anything. I mean, Bradbury had the pick yesterday. Great, right? I mean, we see Jalen Carter. He does amazing things up front. They're not getting enough pressure up front. They're not forcing the issue up front like that. Like I'm used to seeing with this Eagles defensive line. They're not forcing the issue enough. They're not getting to the quarterback fast enough. Like they're getting pressure, but they're not getting enough pressure. They're not disrupting any timing. And one thing about Brock Purdy, and I don't want to jump ahead of myself because I want to get into the Niners a little bit because we got that game coming up this week. But Brock Purdy likes to roll out. He likes to do play action. That's what I see out of him a lot. A lot of his passes, his completions, his big plays, they come off of play action. And, you know, he's not under center, but they do come off play action. And, I mean, it helps because you got Christian McCaffrey, who's the the focal point of that offense. And they're going to have to really get some pressure this week. They're going to have to really, I'm not going to say, I mean, they're facing a good offensive line with the 49ers, but they're going to have to really push this week. It's going to get some pressure and get some blitzes in and do something, man. Like, come on. We can't keep having this. We can't keep doing this. We can't keep doing this. Like, I'm thankful for the win yesterday. Trust me, I'm super ecstatic and elated for that win yesterday. That was amazing to see, right? But I need more from this defense. I need more from them. And granted, we played two good teams in 2 weeks. We got another good team coming up. It's not impossible to sack Brock Purdy. It's not impossible to jam these guys up on their route. Granted, they've been rolling over teams. Since their bye, they've been rolling over teams. I know that. I'm not oblivious to that. But we also seen what it's like when they don't roll over teams. And when Brock Purdy can't make those plays. So yeah, it's going to be tough this week, right? And I ain't mean to jump ahead of myself, but this is just the way the pod is flowing. So I'm just getting it out, and I'm just going to talk about it how I talk about stuff. It's going to be tough this week. I mean, the 49ers won their game on Thursday night. I mean, they made Seattle look like midgets out there. It's no disrespect. Their try was the wrong thing to say. But what I mean is in the sense of, like, they look minuscule compared to San Francisco. And San Francisco played them on the road. Like, Seattle looked, they had no home field advantage whatsoever. Before they blinked, it was 21-3. And they weren't even, it wasn't even like Brock Purdy was carving them up. Christian McCaffrey was doing his thing out there. And they had no shot. So, I say all that to say, like, it's going to be tough this week. It's going to be really, really tough. Like, I'm celebrating. Listen, I'm so elated over this Eagles win. I'm so happy with it, right? And I realized, like, I only had a few minutes to celebrate it. Like, I feel like time is flying so fast. I only had a few minutes to celebrate because now we're already on to the next week. We're already on to the 49ers this week. I didn't even get a chance to really celebrate it at home and feel the energy of the city. I've been, you know, on social media when I could be, in my group chat, all of that. But I haven't had the chance to really just soak it in and take it in. I've been, like, basking in it, and I haven't had a chance to really listen to what I listen to and all that other stuff because I've been so busy. But I don't even have time now. We already on to the next week, right? We already on to the 49ers. It's going to be a tough game. Tough game. Christian McCaffrey is having one heck of a season. He's up for Offensive Player of the Year. Honestly, should be in MVP talks, but he's having a magnificent season. Debo's back. They got Trent Williams back. They're healthy again. I mean, Kittle has been doing his thing out there. Balling. He's getting it. He's getting it. And the Eagles have trouble covering tight ends. They do. I mean, Byers been a great addition to this team, but they ultimately have trouble covering the tight end. They do. The benefit of this week is that the Eagles are at home. One. Two. Eagles got Jalen Hurts. And I'm starting to think that you just can't bet against him. I remember more than once, I said, like, you know, there was so many times I doubted Tom Brady in the fourth quarter. And I told myself numerous times after comebacks, I was like, you need to stop. Talking to myself. So you need to stop betting against Tom Brady in the fourth quarter. And I'm getting to that point with Jalen. Like, I know it's the sample size is just, like, really, like, the last year and a half. And particularly this year. But I got to stop betting against Jalen Hurts in the fourth quarter. Because, like, and I don't necessarily bet against him, but I'm just like, I don't need to doubt this team is in good hands with Jalen Hurts. It just is. It's in good hands with him. There's no reason to doubt, no reason to be fearful, man. That dude's gonna make a play. He's gonna make a play. So it's gonna be tough. And I'm not picking against the Eagles. I'm picking the Eagles to win this game too. I think this is a game, honestly, I might be getting a little ahead of myself, but this game ain't gonna be as close. It won't be as close as, it'll be closer than the NFC Championship game. And it'll be close in the sense of just being a good game, right? It's not going to be as close as the Buffalo game. It's not going to be as close as the Kansas City game. It won't be that close. I think the Eagles win by a score. I do. I think they win by, and when I say score, I mean like a touchdown, not a field goal. They score, they'll win by a score or more. 7 to 9 points, that I would say is the margin, honestly. And I'm not a betting man, but I really feel the Eagles will win this game. And I'm not saying that 49ers won't put up a fight. They will. They will. And it was going to be tough. But I just feel the Eagles can control the game a little bit better. And I think they'll be fine. I really do. I think the margin, and maybe, listen, whatever. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I'm feeling a win on Sunday, and I'm feeling a touchdown or more, honestly. And it's early. You know, it's only Tuesday. It's close to 3 a.m., so it's Tuesday. But I'm trusting Jalen. I'm trusting the Eagles, man. I'm trusting Nick. I'm trusting them to get a win, honestly. Yeah. I can go on about... you know, more things I'm angry about, because I'm angry at the Brian Johnson play calling in the first half of that game was horrendous. And, you know, I know, like, a lot of us call for Brian Johnson's head. I mean, I commend him for adjusting in the second half. I do. But I need him to start games better. That first 15 is trash. Trash. I don't think it's a matter of execution. I just think it's the play calling, honestly. Those first 15 plays, scripted plays, terrible. They need to be better. He needs to get better at that. Like I said in my group chat, you know, Brian Johnson, he might be in over his head at this moment. But, you know, and I take that back, because I don't think he's in over his head. I think he's still adjusting to being a first year offensive coordinator for a professional football team. That's honestly what I think. But I trust this team to fix what's going on. And I feel like the last few weeks we've been angry about this because it's not fixed yet. And it needs to be fixed. So I'm going to come here Sunday and I'm going to be expecting them that the problem is fixed by then. Because right now it's not fixed. And it angers me to no end. Because if it was fixed, we wouldn't have to worry about Jalen coming back in the fourth quarter, I feel. We wouldn't have to deal with this. And granted, some of the stuff is on Jalen. Like, some of the stuff that he's spectacular and all, but he got his faults too. He said, he said in his post-game interview with Tracy Wolfson, I think that's what her name was. Forgive me if I got her name wrong, but he said, I got to start getting better too. That's on me. He said, we have to start getting better, but I got to play better in the first half. That's on me. So I trust him to fix it. Yeah, I do. I trust him to fix it. But I also need this coaching staff to fix what they're doing, too. And I need this defense all around to be fixed. I give Desai a lot of credit for how he's coached his first year as a defensive coordinator in this league. Awesome job, right? But I need this defense more pressure, more jamming of these receivers. They need to throw disrupt timing. They're not. People are throwing on them, and they're not afraid to throw on them. People have time in the pocket. They know they have time in the pocket. This isn't a healthy combination for playoff football, honestly, in my opinion. But I'm going to trust Desai to fix it. Maybe I trust him a little bit more than I trust Brian Johnson. But this quarterback, I mean, this coaching staff, they got some work to do. They got some work to do. Yeah, I'm happy with the win. I'm excited for the win. And yes, it's a big game coming up this week. There's some stuff that needs to be fixed, and it should be fixed. Let me just give you a quick update on the Sixers. They beat the brakes off the Los Angeles Lakers tonight. I had no clue that was going to happen. I really felt like it was going to be a close game. I felt like the Sixers would actually lose that game. I felt like it was just like one of those games where it's like, man, they got the makings of a Sixers losing all over it because they're playing a big ticket team on a Monday after Eagles win. They beat the brakes off the Lakers. 138-94 actually was LeBron's largest loss since he's been in the league. His most significant, well, largest loss as far as like point value is concerned. They lost by 44 points. Joel Embiid had a triple double in three quarters tonight. That's insane. Maxey had 31 tonight and 8. Insane, man. I continue to watch this team from afar. That's all I will say. That I can't say that. I mean, they had a bad stretch last week where they lost. They lost at the last game I came here and talked about. They lost against Cleveland, which made me mad. And then they lost another game. They lost against Minnesota, which that was a bad loss. They just looked bad. That Embiid didn't play that game, but they looked bad. They looked like they didn't give any effort whatsoever, honestly. But I mean, they bounced back. They had a good win against they played on Saturday, and they played. Oh yeah, they played OKC, who was actually not that bad this year. They played OKC. They won and they put up 127-123, and then tonight they scored 138 points. So I watched them from afar. I watched them, keeping my eye on them. You know, it's still, we're heavily doused with the Eagles right now, and it's going to stay that way as long as the Eagles are on this run. So I got my eye on the Sixers, I will tell you, I got my eye on the Sixers. That means, and it's close to being December. So when December rolls around, it'll be like, okay, they're fully engulfed in the season now. Like, they should be in a rhythm, all of that stuff. Flyers actually, I think they won last night. Did they win? Yeah, they won in overtime. They had lost like two straight to the Islanders, and they actually won the third game against them. So that was good. That's cool. I haven't watched too much Flyers hockey, and I can't watch stuff when I'm down here anyway because I don't have the access to it, being away from Philadelphia. But okay, Flyers. Okay. Still haven't heard anything on the Phillies yet. Still, you know, not hot stove yet. So we haven't heard anything on the Phillies yet. But that's all I really got for today. I just, you know, I know it's a heavy Eagles pod, and I think it's well deserved. A team that just finds ways to win gritty, tough games. And games that they honestly probably supposed to lose, but they're such a good team that they find ways to win those games. So it's really, really good to see. It's awesome to see. That's it. That's all. Listen, like I said, I got some co-hosts coming up soon. I'm working on some stuff. When I get back home, when I get back to Philly, I can actually work on that stuff, trying to get the schedule set up. But I want to enjoy the last day and a half of my vacation. I've been doing a lot here, but like I said, I want to enjoy the last few days. I got some stuff ahead of me. I got a lot of stuff ahead going on. I mean, I'm still trying to keep an eye on all stuff. I'm still trying to drop a pod every week. I got graduation coming up soon, so I got a lot of work to do as far as like my schoolwork is concerned. But I'm about 3 weeks away from graduating with my master's, so shout out to that. And yeah, I got a lot going on. It's the end of the year, approaching quickly. It's already end of the year. In my honest opinion, like, it's 2024 next week, so I got a lot on my plate for the next few days, weeks, until we get into January. And then January, I got a lot going on too. So hopefully we're talking about playoffs and deep playoff run, and then hopefully by the end of January, I'm fist pumping, talking about the Super Bowl with the Eagles being in it and playing the Ravens or somebody. So we'll see what happens. But that's all I got for today. I thank you guys for listening. I appreciate you guys as always. If you want to hop on the pod, let me know. If you want to record and insert your audio into the pod, like you leaving like a voice memo or a voice message, listen, you can do that. I'll give you the link. You can submit it. And if you have an iPhone, you want to be in the Philly sports 444 Podcast group chat. Let me know. I will get you added into it. We have fun. We talk our sports, man. We live and die with this team. I don't want to say die, but you know what I mean. Like, we live and live with this team. For real, for real. So, let me know. Let me know if you want to be in it. I appreciate those who have asked me about co-hosting and hopping on already. Like I said, I just got set up some times, and we can get this thing worked out. We can get it done. And we can just talk our sports. All right? That's all I got for today. I appreciate y'all guys. Big win for the Eagles. The Eagles are 10-1. They're 10-1 in the NFC. No one else in the NFC has more than 8 wins. So that's really, really good. Eagles are really, really rolling. And I appreciate that. That's awesome. Big win, big game this week. I suppose it's going to be a win, honestly. That's all I got. This is Don Lewis signing off for the Philly Sports 444 Podcast. That's it. That's all. Until next time. Peace.